Well, hello, everybody. Bob DiGiacomo, Intentional Growth Coaching and Destiny Road. The road to your destiny awaits. I'm coming to you another one of my, leadership podcasts and video blogs. And the theme today is going to be a little bit different. It is coming from a leadership perspective, as always. But the theme is going to be just a tad different because what I'm asking today is for you to focus on those who do not learn from the past, are compelled and even condemned to live it again in the future. Today's title, when was the last time you, and I pause there for a reason, before you realize that it truly was and would be the last time, the very last time. When was the last time you paused to note the sun rising to the new day? When was the last time you paused to note the beautiful sounds of nature around you? When was the last time that you watched the majesty of the ocean? Or a river running the rapids or even over a waterfall? When was the last time you scanned the majestic desert or even the snow-capped mountains off in the distance? When was the last time you viewed the clouds above, noting the different shapes that you could identify that the Creator put there just for you? When was the last time you watched the sun dip below the horizon at day's end and scanned the moon rise? When was the last time you told those you love that you love them and were proud of them? When was the last time that you took the time to thank the grand overall designer, better known as G-O-D, God, for the day you just had? In fact, that you even had a day, and so much more. Now, you may be wondering about both this litany and soliloquy that I have just gone through, and perhaps it has even set your mind to thinking. Well, this litany is based on what I'm about to tell you, what I'm about to share with you. Now, remember that I deal in coaching and leadership, and thus I present this from a leadership perspective. What I'm about to relate to you deals with both genocide and Holocaust. Now, this may be a topic you may not want to hear more about, but I urge you, no, I challenge you to stay with me on this journey today. Due to the recent COVID, aka Chinese virus, that has impacted all of us, I've had more time to catch up on things, and thankfully, because of the internet, I've been able to watch a fair amount of YouTube movies from years ago. I am also a firm believer that synchronicity takes place, which means that coincidences don't happen coincidentally. And to that end, and perhaps due to the algorithms of YouTube, I came across Herman Wouk's The Winds of War. I first became acquainted with the book by this title and the sequel, War and Remembrance, many, many years ago. In fact, it was back in the late 70s or even the early 80s. I enjoyed every page of those two books and was ecstatic when the TV version came out a few years later. This was then followed by the broadcast of the second book. Now, it will be the second book that I will base most of my conversation with you today on, but must set the stage by depicting that of the first book. The Winds of War focuses on a U.S. naval family in the late 1930s. In fact, the years actually immediately preceding the outbreak of World War II. The story covers everything from the German, Japanese, Italian, British, and of course, U.S. angles. And while all of this is happening, naturally, there's a storyline that covers each of the different family members who are in Germany, Italy, Britain, and the U.S. The main Japanese part does not really come into play until that fateful Sunday, December 7th, at Pearl Harbor. It is in the first book that we became aware of Hitler's plan to invoke what will become known as the final solution. his intentions to purge the world of inferior races, most notably the Jewish race. In fact, parts of Hitler's invasions into the various countries in Europe, such as Poland, was so that he could begin to implement that plan. Many Jews and others sought to escape to other countries and even the United States, but that was easier said than done. But clearly you could really get to understand that the man, Hitler, who no one thought would start a war, was putting all the pieces together so as to focus not only on world conquest, but that of the final solution. So as previously noted, it is the second book, War and Remembrance, that I am going to focus on. Hermann Woke did a great deal of research regarding the Jewish question, aka the final solution. His book was very precise and accurate, and when reading the book, you really felt as if you were right there. From the time that the Jewish people and other so-called impure races were rounded up and placed in the ghettos, and then to the trains for the trip east. Before I continue, though, it's important for me to provide the definitions of both genocide and that of Holocaust. The definition of genocide is the intentional action to destroy a people, usually defined as an ethnic, national, racial, or religious group, in whole or in part. Holocaust, on the other hand, is the great destruction resulting in the extensive loss of life, and it is especially done using fire. The systematic state-sponsored killing of 6 million Jewish men, women, and children, and millions of others by Nazi Germany and its collaborators during World War II. The Germans called this the final solution to the Jewish question, as I've already mentioned. And just to modernize Holocaust a bit, going back to the years just after World War II and into today, we're always on the verge of nuclear Holocaust. So I'm just adding a modern day example as we are still living under the nuclear threat umbrella. Yes, even to this day. So naturally, the first thing that one pays attention to in the film is how all that is happening impacts the different characters who are in many different parts of the world due to the demands of the war. In particular, though, are the characters of Natalie Jastrow and that of her uncle, Dr. Aaron Jastrow. Natalie is an American Jew who is living with and working for her uncle, Aaron Jastrow, in Italy. He is also an American Jew who has allowed his passport to expire because his work and life were more important to him than a nationality. To make a long story short, Natalie tried several times as things were heating up to get her uncle to realize that they were in danger and should leave Europe while they could, which went unheeded to the point where they eventually ended up in Nazi concentration camps. Yes, as Americans, but they were Jews in Nazi concentration camps, the last of which was the dreaded Auschwitz. It is here that I must point out that the director chose to use real film footage and the staging of realistic events, which caused me at times to bypass those scenes. But then I thought, no, wait a minute. My not watching these scenes would be just like the others in the world at the time who heard that these things were going on and chose to ignore them or just not to believe them. You see, years ago when I was younger, I had no problem watching these films. But now that I am older, its impact on me seems to be so, so much different. It is so important for our younger generations to learn of these events. There are too many groups out there today who refuse to acknowledge the existence of these events or that they even took place. Again, to make a long story short, Natalie, who had been pregnant and gave birth to a son while they were trying to find a way out of Europe, found a way to get her child out of one of the camps that they had been taken to by faking his death. Of all the scenes that impacted me the most was Aaron Jastrow turning one last time to look up at the moon, knowing it would be the last time he would ever see it as he was about to be processed. And that word processed has a very deep meaning here. And this was followed later on in the scenes by a dump truck, which had clearly come from the camp Auschwitz, pulling up to the edge of a river and begin to unload its cargo. Its cargo was ashes. Yes, ashes. The combined mixture of the remains of hundreds, thousands, and eventually millions of the people who had been herded into the trains, fooled into heading into the showers to be disinfected, murdered with the deadly gas, and then placed into the ovens to finish the process. To see all those ashes just being dumped into the river left me with a cold chill running through me. The lives, the thoughts and dreams, the pros and cons of all these people just snuffed out and then treated like no more than the ashes of me stirring the ashes of a campfire that I would have attended as a scout in my younger days. The watching as a civilization of human beings being eradicated for all time with no chance for them to create descendants to carry on. And then it occurred to me that it is said that all life originated in the sea, and thus the ash-strewn river would eventually find its way to the sea. So what are some of the steps that cause an event like this to be able to occur? There are so many reasons. Apathy, the belief of superiority, nationalism, communism, the following of leaders who convince you to the point that you become brainwashed, the ability of some to refuse to believe in such things, the ability of some people to hide from the reality that if it's not impacting them, then all is good. I could go on and on describing this. I could and I can go on describing this, but I move on here. What is not unique is that most people think that the Holocaust by the Nazis during World War II was the only time this happened. Unfortunately, this has happened and continues to happen all around us. And I realize we are in the 21st century, so I have chosen to focus on the 20th century. Oh yes, genocide has happened all throughout history, but I focus on the 20th century in hopes that we may avoid it in the 21st century, where we are right now. And I'm listing what are referred to as the top five. The first one was the Holocaust, under the leadership of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis from 1939 to 1945, responsible for the deaths of up to 17 million men, women, and yes, children. This includes over 6 million Jews, which at the time was about one-third of the Jewish race. The Holodomor, better known as the Stalin Purge, number two, during the 1930s, where Joseph Stalin, the communist leader of the USSR, had over 7.5 million of his people eradicated. Number three is the Cambodian genocide. What used to be known as Cambodia, that's the country Cambodia, and later became renamed as Kampuchea, under the leader Pol Pot, responsible for the deaths of over 3 million people during the late 1970s. No one was safe, especially doctors, teachers, and thinkers, etc. This was better known and referred to as the killing fields. Number four, the Armenian genocide. During World War I, the Turkish government killed over 1.5 million Armenians and caused many more to flee to avoid being killed and slaughtered. I will add here that my stepmother's parents and siblings got out of Armenia and came to the United States with literally only what they could carry. Other relatives were not so fortunate, And to this day, the Armenian genocide is actually denied that it even occurred by so many. And last is the Rwandan genocide. And this occurred because one tribe was trying to eradicate another tribe in Africa. The year 1994, over 1 million dead. And the list goes on. So my question for those of us who lived during the 20th century is as to whether you were aware of these. Were you taught about them? Are you teaching the younger generation so that they know about them and we can hopefully work to avoid future genocides as mankind learns to live better with each other? I close with that which I opened. When was the last time you, because you never know when it will be the last time that you get to. The world has been impacted with a virus that knows no bounds. I urge you today to let those in your family know that you love them and are proud of them. I urge you today to make today your best day yet. Live your today because you have been given this today, and give thanks for all the good things around you before it may become too late. Oh, and just one last point to ponder. The old saying that those who do not learn from the past are condemned to live it again in the future. Just know that both Marxism and fascism are rearing their ugly heads again. So until next time, Bob DiGiacomo, Intentional Growth Coaching and Destiny Road. I'll be coming to you with another one of my leadership podcasts and video blogs. Be sure to reach out to me at intentionalgrowth@icloud.com, and we can schedule the discovery meeting and have a chat, or visit my YouTube channel at Robert DiGiacomo, RobertDiGiacomo. And be sure to hit the subscribe button. I have many, many leadership videos and other videos in my YouTube channel. And of course, you can go to my podcasts, which are found on iTunes as well as Google Play, Intentional Growth Coaching. Make it a great, wonderful, significant, and rest of your day. And again, be sure to make today your best day yet. Bye-bye.